Hello, this is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasey Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. Back again today is my good old buddy Blake Weiland from the amazing Tone Mob Podcast. How you doing, Blake?
Oh, man. I just drank some cold brew coffee out of my old Blood Noise coffee mug, and I'm feeling good.
I'm jealous. It's absolutely so jealous. I didn't have a chance to grab my coffee. Normally I do, and did not have a chance today. So I may be off my game just a little bit.
The tables have turned. Usually you're the caffeinated one, but this time it's me, baby. Here we go.
This time I'm like, how you doing today, Blake? I'm fine, I suppose.
I guess I'm all right.
Hanging out.
This is sort of related, but sort of not. But I saw a meme the other day that was a fake tweet from Coca-Cola. And it said, you know, in 1918, we might have had a pandemic, but at least we had cocaine in our Coke. And Coca-Cola said, screw it, we're putting the cocaine back in. Maybe that's what we need to really get this podcast off the ground.
That's what we need. Cocaine. Yes. Cocaine. That's a great idea, Blake.
Yeah. Propane.
I don't think so. I'm really not thinking that.
Yeah, probably not.
So I've been waiting all weekend to talk to you about this because last week, JHS released a new complete lineup of pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kind of felt like in the middle, fell in the middle of our cycle. So I knew it'd be a few days before we could actually talk about it. But I thought that'd be a pretty cool thing to talk about. We kind of got to. It's something exciting in the pedal world, right?
Right.
We always kind of bitch and moan about how there's nothing really going on right now. Not anything too crazy, and this is a little crazy in a good way. So I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. I was stoked to see that, and I think it's a cool move for JHS. You know, this water has sort of been tested before, but not quite to this depth where they released an entire line. But I think EQD kind of proved that, like, if you can figure out a relatively simple, good-sounding pedal that is already in demand in a lot of ways, that you can have some success with it. They did it with the Plumes. And it's not always easy. You know, you kind of have to get to a certain scale before you can produce something like that at that price point and have it make sense from a business sense, or from a business perspective, rather. And JHS has obviously hit that level, but that can be really difficult for somebody. Like, I see other people being like, well, how come other pedals aren't only $100 then? And it's like, well, there's a lot to that. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I heard Josh say something. I'm paraphrasing completely, so forgive me if I screw this up. But I thought he said something like, we're still building them here in America, and it's the same types of guts, I guess. I don't remember exactly how I said that, but I'm not. So I'm literally going, I can't do that. I don't know how. Like, I literally don't know how. It's cool. I mean, I'm glad he's figured out a way to do it, but you know, there's, contrary to what some people would believe, it's not like we're all just sitting on $20 pedals and thinking, I wonder if we could charge $500 for this one.
Right.
most of us are not doing that. There's a mathematical way that we arrive at our price, and it usually starts with, how much does this cost to build?
Right.
Not always completely, but that's generally where it kind of floats around. There's exceptions on both sides. There's always exceptions where, man, there's several in our line where I'm like, we literally make nothing on it. Like, we very, very little on it. And then there's exceptions like, we're doing good on that one. But it's never anything ridiculous, you know. They are toys for guitar players anyways.
Right. You know, we probably should tell people, I'm sure that most people listening to this show know what we're talking about. But I realize we kind of just glossed over, like,
what
the actual particulars are, and we just started talking about it.
We totally assumed everyone knew what we were talking about. So let me back this train up. And That would have been a good place to start, right?
Yeah, maybe we should have started there. That would Jay just come out with a new line of pedals, and here's the details. Oh, wait, we didn't give any. Okay.
I'm looking. So it looks like it's is it nine of them?
I think that's right. Nine, I think it's nine or seven. I don't know. I didn't count them.
So it's they all look the same, roughly. Same graphics, so which means kind of no graphics. All white, plain with a logo on it, three knobs and a switch, side-mounted jacks.
The same layout too. Like
yeah, same
three
layout.
Knobs, it's the cases are all identical, basically with different print jobs on them.
Right. So we have the reverb, and they're called 3 series, by the way, for three knobs. I assume reverb. We have a delay. We have a fuzz. We have a chorus. We have an overdrive, a compressor, a distortion. And another chorus and delay. Maybe it is seven. So it's not two another chorus and delay. That was just the image I was looking at showed chorus and delay mentioned twice. So I think it is seven of them.
Okay, gotcha.
So a lot of speculation going on. I've been reading as much as I can about it. Apparently, the digital components is based off of Spin. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people aren't familiar with that. Spin is like... I think Chase Bliss started using a lot of Spin originally. I think Keeley used Spin quite a bit at first. And then there's a lot of smaller manufacturers that use Spin. So it's basically just the chip is called a Spin FV1, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
And
it's very common for digital effects.
It is very common, yeah. It's programmed from the manufacturer in such a way that it's kind of made for audio effects rather than just having a blank chip and having to type in a bunch of code that says, okay, we're actually going to send audio to this computer chip. It's kind of pre-programmed that takes away some of the more time-consuming processes of making a chip do effects. So don't get me wrong. Even though the chip comes from the manufacturer where it does have delay and reverb and et cetera pre-programmed on it, most people, as far as I know, don't just take those stock programs and, you know, put it in a box and call it a day. Most of them, kind of tailor things to their liking.
Yeah, you can go back to zero with those things and completely code things yourself, which a lot of people do. I know that that's what Jack over at Mr. Black does. There's not anything in there that's like factory code in anything that he does. It's all from scratch, you know, and that's what a lot of people get twisted about that. They think that that's a drag and drop, and it is. It can be, but
can be.
A lot of people are still doing their own coding, and the algorithms are their very own creation. Which is a whole nother art form in itself.
It really is. It's completely different than breadboarding something. And with this particular Spin chip, there was a person that actually developed a drag and drop interface, meaning you kind of put like, all right, we're going to put chorus in this pedal, so let's drag this chorus module here on the screen. We're going to connect it with wires. We're going to control these parameters. And then, let's do... this to the EQ here, and you can kind of do it in sort of a, you know, like the old WYSIWYG interface, kind of, sort of, not exactly, but it does make it easier in that way. But there are, you can just kind of get rid of that interface and literally type in your own code, you know. So, you know, when I send a sound into it, I'm going to make that sound delay by however the pot is, potentiometer, not marijuana, and, you know, as I turn that potentiometer up, I'm going to make the sound echo by X amount of milliseconds. And so, like, literally, that's kind of how you code in a digital pedal rather than, here's a transistor. Let's see what happens whenever I change the bias of this transistor. Totally different.
Yeah.
Still fun, just a whole different game. But anyway, so the reverb and delay, I believe, are Spin, according to Josh. The fuzz, Now, I haven't talked to Josh. I'm just from what I've read. Looks to be like a fuzz face thing. The chorus, I believe, is also Spin-based. Digital-based, in other words. The overdrive, I don't know. Josh says it's not a tube screamer. I'm not sure what it is, actually. I'm interested, but I don't know.
Mystery drive.
It is a mystery drive. The compressor, I don't know. It's analog from what I've been told, from what I've read, rather. I don't know if it's like a Ross or if it's an orange squeezer or, you know, who knows. Distortion, I think that filter knob gave it away for me. Like, that's a rat. It's got to be a rat. You know, so that's...
I mean, I love the rat.
Oh, man.
The fantastic. Rat's so good.
So good. It's so good. And really, and even the rat pedal, you know, they're pretty inexpensive as far as pedals go. Well, this is inexpensive as the JHS series here.
Yeah.
I think, what are they, 79 or 89? Somewhere in the under $100, I believe, for the rats. And, yeah, a lot of fun. That's actually one of my favorite pedals to modify just because... So there's so many different things to do, and there's space in the case, and it's just fun. It's good, clean fun.
It is. I love how a good rat breaks up. It's like fuzz-stortion, and I just love it so much. And it sounds so good on baritone guitars. Man. Mm. I'm going to play a rat later. I think plug in my big ear woodcutter and go to town.
Yeah, one second. Excuse me, that is not a COVID cough, I promise. Rats do have this, I don't want to say quirky, but just the way the circuit is designed, you can really get a very clean edge of breakup overdrive with the gain way down.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, depending what guitar and basically what kind of signal you're hitting it with, around noon or so, we start going from, we're a distortion pedal to, I think it's time to fuzz things up now.
Yes.
So it's cool. It's like an overdrive, a distortion, and a fuzz all in one.
Yeah, it's a really great circuit. I don't know if it gets enough love. Maybe it does nowadays, but back in the day, it didn't get the love it deserved, in my opinion.
For a while, it was kind of overlooked, you know? The original vintage non-LED rats kind of took off on eBay at that time. And it seemed like it ignited a whole new generation of rat lovers. Not that, I mean, there was people in the 90s that swore by them as well. But it did seem like a period of time, they just kind of got overlooked for something else. You know, it's probably rack stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, did we cover all the JHS pedals?
That's all of them. Yeah, I wish I haven't bought them yet. So,
one key point that we keep touching on, but not fully touching on, they are all $99.
Yes, each one.
Not for the whole thing. You can't get them.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah, they are not all $99 together, but each one individually is $99.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to head over to, you know. Probably, I'm looking at an ad right now at Sweetwater, so that's probably what I'm going to click on.
Mm-hmm.
Unless someone wants to, we'll see what Google throws at me next. Who knows what company will land in front of me.
But you got to do the tonemob.com/Sweetwater link. That's the best link to use for everybody.
Ooh, little affiliate action, huh?
Oh, yeah, baby.
So that's tonemob/Sweetwater?
No, tonemob.com/Sweetwater.
Well, there you go. That's a way to support Blake and his baritone guitar buying habit.
Yes, yeah, starting to become a habit. I have three. That's starting to become a trend, I think.
So I know when they released these, they released two videos last Thursday, and the first one was pretty cool way of releasing a video. I thought he had some of the people that work for him just play through the pedal and kind of give their thoughts, and then record it, of course. And I thought that was a pretty unique way of doing it. And there's, you know, some of the talk from different people within his organization. One might say that, maybe the delay wasn't bright enough, and another person said it was too bright, for example. I forget exactly, but I know there's a couple of people that sort of contradicted their views on what that particular effect did for them. And I found that interesting because two completely different players and approaching the same thing with the exact same rig, and it sounds completely different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like stuff like that.
It kind of goes to show, like, as much as I know you and I have this reaction sometimes where it's like, we've talked before about the man who emailed my friend Leon claiming that there wasn't a sound in the Pelotar he couldn't get with his tube screamer. And we, you know, like I tend to think that that guy is wrong, but you know, maybe for him and the way he goes about things, and maybe his tube screamer is broken, then I have a hard time imagining that, but maybe he's not wrong. Maybe for him, he couldn't get any sounds out of it that he couldn't get out of his supposedly broken tube screamer. Who knows?
Okay, so you said the Pelotar, right?
Yeah.
So I have a Pelotar, and it is so far away from a tube screamer. I'm a little speechless. I'm thinking, if your tube screamer sounds like that, you've got some seriously misbiased op-amps and transistors going
that's
on.
What I'm... I mean, it's for people who aren't aware, I know we've talked about it several times, but it's got a blend knob for the two fuzz circuits that's in it. The two fuzz circuits are on the right side. It's kind of a Russian-ish Big Muff type of thing. On the left side, it's like a, I think it's a, he based it on the Univox Square Wave, I believe, which neither of them do TS9 sounds, but
no, both are quite different than that.
You'd probably be almost as similar, like a Bit Crusher sounds just as much like a TS9 as either of those things do, in my opinion.
Yeah, or yeah, it's a yeah. This reverb sounds just like my tube screamer.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do. I don't think it does. I don't think it does.
Probably not. All that to say is like it. I was being, you know, by bringing up that example, I was kind of exaggerating it, obviously, but sometimes people aren't wrong. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this delay is too bright. Well, for that guy, it was too bright, you know, for his other employee. Yeah, it was just right. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's all subjective in some ways, even though I do consider some people to be wrong.
No, Blake, everyone is right.
Everyone is right? Yes. Oh, boy. Everyone's right. Maybe I'm wrong, then. Maybe that's what it is this whole time. I've been wrong this whole time.
Very possible. I have been wrong myself a time or two.
Just once. Mm-hmm. When you thought you were wrong. And it turns out you were actually correct.
Yeah. So anyway, so check out the JHS 3 Series. Pretty cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm anxious to see what they sound like.
Me too.
So, in other news, if you haven't seen Andy, oh crap, Andy, I'm so sorry. Your last name just totally
Martin.
Blanked from my mind. Martin, thank you. If you have not seen golly, mm-hmm. My age is catching up with me, Blake. If you have not seen Andy Martin's wife's Instagram, you're missing out.
You are.
Absolutely. It's
see, big time.
You have to check. I like her Instagram better than the Wampler Pedals Instagram. I'm kidding.
It's
I can't
very,
say
very
that.
Good.
But
and it's very
it
new.
It is really entertaining. It is. It's new and it's entertaining. She seems like she has a wonderful sense of humor. I think you've met her, haven't you?
I actually haven't. Every time I've been over to Andy's house, she was at work.
Oh.
So I have never met her in person, although I have ate in her kitchen, which is kind of the same thing.
Weird. Yeah, no, not really. But, okay, yeah. So anyway, Andy's wife, who seems to have a really good sense of humor.
Kim.
There you go. Behind the Pedals. That is the Instagram name if you're looking for it. So just the all one word, Behind the Pedals. You'll love it. She had a post. And this is just like an informational post, right? Big bold letters. Hey, non-guitar players. Your guitar playing loved one just received a new pedal. Now what? Try out some of these questions to sound interested. 1, is it true bypass? 2, what power supply does it use? 3, does it have tap tempo? 4, oh, it's from intercompany name. I really love their fuzzes. 5, that will look really good on your board. Where will you put it in your signal chain? And then lastly, 6, has Andy done a demo yet? We should watch it together.
That's right. So I tagged my wife in that, and her response is as follows. Yeah, no. That's all she said. She's not playing along. She's not going to do it.
So that's so funny. I actually did not tag my wife into it because she probably would say, I've been in this business for so long, I don't care if it's true bypass. I don't care what power supply it has. What I do care about is that you go do your thing, go play your pedals or whatever, and I'm going to do my thing making glittery cups.
That's right.
But anyway.
Yeah, that's just kind of how it goes. Us guitar players, you know, and it's, you see it across the board, like, you got one person who's very into this stuff, and the other person does not care. And it, rarely is there a dual, you know, like both spouses are on board, because I think that would be a bad situation. That could get ugly if they both suffer from gear acquisition syndrome on the same level.
I have a good friend, and I believe he listens to the podcast, Scott Height. Hi, Scott. He and his wife both are just huge, huge fans of effects. They both play guitar, mm-hmm. among other instruments as well. And so they both are like stealing pedals off each other's board all the time. He's always emailing me, man, my wife took my Tumnus. I'm like, I got to get another one.
That actually could be pretty fun now that I say it. Maybe I'll backpedal on that statement. That could be a good time. Although, I mean, hands off my board, honey.
I'm thinking, like, you know, you're going out to your room or wherever you're playing your music, and you're like, you know what? I just can't wait to turn on my insert favorite pedal name. And you get there, and there's just a space, just an empty space. And you're like, honey, did you take my delay pedal again?
Did you take my Klon again? Bill Finnegan made that himself. Bring back my Klon.
So, but I guess, you know, I mean, there's definitely worse things. I mean, I suppose your kids could steal it. You know, I know we do have customers that their kids steal their gear as well, which is fun on one hand, but there's also the, hey, you need to buy your own gear, kiddo.
This is
heads up, daddy's Les Paul.
Yeah. Dad had to work a long time to afford this Les Paul. Now you start with a Squire just like I did.
Right. Yep, absolutely.
But yeah, everybody, so, go follow Behind the Pedals. It'll be a real treat. It's very niche-y Andy Martin fan humor.
Yes. I mean, if you don't know who Andy Martin is, Andy is the pro guitar shop guy.
But first, here's my clean tone guy.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know who Andy is. But
yes.
And in fact, he's been on the podcast, come to think of it. Both of ours, actually.
Has he been on Chasing Tone? I didn't know he was on Chasing Tone.
I believe so. I know we did a video. It's been at a Winter NAMM maybe 2 years ago, and I think I used that audio here on the podcast at one time.
Yeah, he's been on my show twice. Once when he was with Pro Guitar Shop, and then once after, just shortly after he made the transition to Reverb. So he's probably about due for another one, because that's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been.
But yeah, he's the man. He's such a good dude. He is, in person, exactly what you would think. He's super chill and, like...
He is exactly what you see on camera is exactly Andy, except not scripted. It was a little bit different when I first met him in person to see him off. Because, you know, what you usually see is script of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to see just kind of an off-script version, I was like... This is a bit surreal.
It's one of those things where it's like you've been watching him for so long. And he didn't do... I actually went to NAMM before he did, which was weird to think about. I think my second or third NAMM was his first. And, you know, it was like very... Like, it was very surreal for him. I mean, I'd already met him in person at that point, and we'd talked a bunch of times, but, like, I could see people looking at him as he was walking around. They're like, is that Andy? It is Andy. He's a real person. It's not just a YouTube figment.
Yeah, I think uh, I think he was a little overwhelmed in a good way about the response that that he was getting at NAMM just by his presence there. You know, if you're a gear nerd like us and Andy's just floating around, you're going to stop him and talk about gear. You know what I mean?
You try to anyway.
Right.
But I mean, I'm starting to see that with more YouTubers, you know, as we have progressed with this thing, you know. You and I know a bunch of the guitar YouTubers at this point, and I was amazed at how many people were flagging down Ryan from 60 Cycle Hum when I was hanging out with him. You know, he works NAMM. He works really hard at NAMM and like films a ton of content. I don't even know how he does it, but he films a ton of content while there. And I was hanging out with him for just a couple minutes, and there was like four people. They're like, "Ryan, hey, like, I'll take a picture with you." I'm like, this YouTube thing is very interesting. Never at any point in humans' history has there been such an ability to put yourself out there and have people actually like see it. It's very crazy. Like, you know, for a long time, the only way to crack into the entertainment business in any way, shape, or form was to go through the Hollywood channels. And now you just, you know, get on the internet and be really consistent, work really hard, and you have a good shot at it. So it's kind of weird.
The middle person is taken away completely. You know, there's no intermediary of a person saying, "I think we're going to make you a big star." You know,
right.
You know, like that's, it's not that it's gone. It's just kind of irrelevant anymore.
It's not necessary, depending on what you're trying to do, of course.
Right. So it's fascinating for sure. I think that's one of the good things about the internet.
Yes.
You know? One of the bad things are the comment sections. on some YouTube videos. Sometimes.
I mean, I know my YouTube channel is microscopic compared to most of the people that we're talking about, or pretty much everybody that we're talking about, actually. But so far, my comment section is great because it's just podcast listeners coming in and commenting on it. So it's been wonderful, but that will change. I know that will change.
It will happen when you're like, "Wait, what did I do to this person? Why do they hate me so much? And why do they want me to die?"
Right. Like, sorry?
Right. Like,
I guess it's a video.
It's a video about guitar sounds. Why should I die over this?
Oh, you need to die. You need to die, apparently.
Oh, man. Speaking of videos, I watched your last video. What is today? October 5th today. So this was a few days ago. I noticed that you used my unlicensed version of me trying to throw the guitar over my shoulder, Blake.
I sure did. I thought you would appreciate that.
I did get a kick out of it.
I purposely used that one because it looked worse.
Yes.
It was actually on your video.
That's the B-roll angle.
Yeah, I had to use that one because it was funnier to me. I thought that was good. I was trying to think of like, I was like, I'm just going to go to his most recent video and pull some quote. And I was like, wait a minute, there's already gold here that I know exists. Let's use that instead. And for anybody who is wondering, you can go check out my latest video. I don't know if it'll be my latest when this drops, but it's called something about me failing. I forgot what I called it, but something about failure.
That's a terrible headline. Something about me failing.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't remember. I think it was good.
I totally failed. That was it. Yeah.
Welp, I totally failed. That's what it was.
Yep. There you go. Now, when you're picking out your headlines for your video, are you doing any sort of Google research or anything like that?
Sometimes I do. The main thing I'm just trying to do is make it clickable. Like, I want people to go, I wonder what that's about.
You could always say, free $100, and then, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry, I had to sneeze and mute myself for a second. That was really intense. Woo! I do a little bit of keyword research, but not as much as I should, to be perfectly honest.
Interesting. Yeah, some things are just, it's hard to get a good content SEO-based headline for. It's just, some stuff it just doesn't translate well, you know, meaning, you know, if I'm talking about diodes or something, there's not a whole lot of Google search data on diodes. Other than
not,
like...
Not in the way that you're trying to explain them.
Not for a video, yeah. Not in that way. But I mean, all kinds of data about diodes for sure, but it's not going to tell me what the most searched phrases are, rather other than like, is 1N914 similar to a 1N418? 4148. you know, not a very good clickable title for a video.
Yeah, it's really... YouTube is an interesting, I don't know what you would call it. I feel like traditional SEO stuff definitely applies there. Like, clearly it does. But also, I've talked to, like, YouTube consultants before, like, that specifically focus on YouTube tactics and things. And some of the things that I've been told make a lot of sense. So, like, you want to get something that has a decent amount of search volume and all that stuff as far as your subject matter that you're going to be covering. The problem is that doesn't always translate. So, like, I was talking to Scott from Stringjoy, and we were talking to this same consultant guy, and he was really big on, like, you need to find things with search volume. And that is very applicable. However, Scott's best performing video that he's ever done on YouTube, it got, like, 350,000 views or 400,000 views or something, was a video about new standard tuning, which has not very much search volume at all. So it's not always that simple. Sometimes you kind of have to go with your gut and just try things and see what happens.
Yep. And sometimes the YouTube SEO gods just smile upon you and you're like, here's thousands of hits for no reason.
Right. Why? Because.
Just seemed like a good day to do it. I don't know.
I mean, Instagram can be the same way, which is, it's less SEO, but like sometimes I'll make a post and I'm like, wow, that did great. And in a couple weeks, I'm going to do a similar one to that. And so I'll do the similar one and then that one won't do anything. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, I get you. All right. Got anything else to add on the topic before we close this show out?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty good. Oh, well, I do have something.
Sure.
Stay tuned to both my channels and probably the Wampler channels, too, because you're going to be talking about this. We've got a big giveaway thingy happening really soon. And I haven't told Brian when it's dropping yet, but I will once we stop recording. But it's happening very, very soon.
So thank you for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com, and I'll personally get your email. If you want to email Blake, simply go to, or simply email info@tonemob. I get this messed up. info@thetonemob.com, right?
info@tonemob.com.
Oh my gosh.
You're not the only one. It stems back to the lady who stole my desired Instagram handle like 5 years ago. And so now it's the on some things and just Tone Mob on other things.
So. Yeah, it's confusing. But anyways, so at least to me, info@tonemob.com to reach Blake directly. If you like if you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends and bandmates and others into guitar podcasts. Best way to show your support for the show is to share this podcast with a friend. Maybe go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever, and leave a review. Maybe click some stars up there. And make sure to check out Blake's podcast as well. The Tone Mob is the name of his podcast. Make sure to check out WamplerPedals.com. And that's about it. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
Bye.